Come on, guys. Good to see you. You look so excited. So excited. Good to see you, my friends. Well, when I get to come up here, I get to talk about some of the things that are in the church that kind of help us to think about God while we're here. We've talked about the candles and the fire. We've talked about the banners that are here. And today we're going to talk about one other thing. It's right there underneath of it, and I brought mine right here. We're going to talk about the Bible, okay? And this is my Bible. Let's take a look at it. And we'll talk about why this is in the church. What do you see about my Bible? Look at this. It looks, pages are falling out. Look at this. There are all kinds of circles and underlined. Look at all that stuff. What do you think is the reason that my Bible's in this kind of shape? Why do you, it's all falling apart. What's that all about? You guys have anything that looks, you have like a little dolly maybe that is all falling apart? Got a little blanket you carry around? My son had a little blanket. We called it Pooh's Corner that we made, and he carried that around till he was 8 years old. Yeah, we still have it. You got anything that looks old in your house? The doll for sure. You got an older looking dolly? Why do you think your dolly looks so old?
Because
wash her hair all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I wash her hair all the time.
You wash her hair all the time. That, you know, and the longer you have your dolly, the older that thing's going to look. And you know what else? The more you hold your dolly, the likelihood is the older that dolly is going to look, huh? And so I will tell you, you hold your dolly tightly because it's a good thing for you to have. I hold my Bible tightly because in here, see that circle right there? That means that's a special word for me. That when I circle a word like that, that's a special word, and it means something to my heart and to my soul. See, I circled another word over here. It says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. That's kind of appropriate for us today. When I put a star there, that's even more important than a circle. And so, you guys, can you read yet? Not yet. When you start reading, you read your Bible. I read my Bible every single day because this really, really helps me as much as you holding on to your dolly. Okay? All right, sir? You want to say a prayer with me? Come here. You come over here. You got anything you want to say? Let's say a prayer together. You ready? You say with me. Ready? Dear Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for my family. Thank you for church. Thank you for Pastor Ernie's Bible. And I pray that you would speak to me clearly every single day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, my friend. Okay. He's going to use this one, Jensen.
All right. Is that better? Okay.
Can you just wipe it in?
Yes.
Let's turn. Not personal.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, good morning. Always good to come back to Wesley. Today, we're coming back to the courageous Wesley, right? The courageous ones. Thank you for being here this morning. Wesley to us, we know Wesley's a family, and it's a family to us. Julie and I, Julie's sitting here as well. It's a family to us even though we're not here very often. We're normally gone because that's our task is not to be here, it's actually to be elsewhere. But we still feel feel a part of this family. And that's because we were here back in the 80s. I don't know. Some of you may remember that time. We were here, attended here in the 80s, and we were commissioned here in 1989 as your missional representatives, your missional extension of this body. That's when we went to Brazil with Wycliffe Bible Translators. That was 1989. That was 31 years ago. And so it's kind of hard to believe. Hard to believe. 31 years ago, right here at this altar, we were commissioned to the mission field. And this church, the other thing that's harder to believe, this church has continued to be faithfully behind us every one of those 31 years. That is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, you deserve a round of applause. You do. Yes. And we are humbled by that. We acknowledge that that is an incredible sign of faithfulness. And we acknowledge that and we are humbled. Today I'll try to do two things. Very simple. A brief overview of our ministry. I want to tell you, try to catch you up on some of the things we've been doing lately. And then I want to just tell you a story. A story of a God thing that has happened recently that we have seen in ministry. Overview of our ministry. We work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. The goal of Wycliffe is to translate the Bible into every language that needs it. There are over 7,000 languages in the world today. And the estimate is about 2,000 of those still need scripture. So there's still quite a bit of work to do. I don't know how many of you have been able to keep up with our comings and goings. We first went to Brazil. We spent 22 years translating scripture for the Mamaindé people of Brazil. Then we went with Wycliffe. Then with Wycliffe, we went to Thailand. And we taught, we were teachers in Thailand. I was teaching at a university, and Julie was teaching at a high school, also associated with Wycliffe's ministry there. And then 2 years ago, we returned from Asia, and we came back to the U.S., and we took on international roles with Wycliffe, with the same agency. So we're still with Wycliffe, but now we're doing international work, which means going to more than one place, going to various places. But we're in this international role. We are based out of Kentucky, which is basically, we chose that. We could be based anywhere because we're going all over the place. So we chose Kentucky because that's where our first grandson has been born. So a year and a half ago, our first grandchild was born in Kentucky. So that's where we are, basing out of there. So there's two roles that I have now. The first role is I help to manage a resource for missions that keeps track of all the languages of the world. It's just this huge catalog of all the languages of the world. It's called the Ethnologue, and you can go online, ethnologue.com, and you can check it out. And that's where you're going to find out that there's 7,117 languages today, alive today, being spoken today. And that just came out. We just released our 2020 edition in February. And so that's that count of 7,117 is current. Anyway, but this resource, we have information on every language of every country, every dialect of every language, the population, the location, the regions, how many other languages they speak. All of that is in this resource. And that resource is used by governments, by universities, but it's also used by mission agencies, by all kinds of mission agencies who are doing Bible translation, who are doing church planting, doing evangelism, literacy work. They all need to know, what language are we going to minister to these people in? And so this is the resources they come to. So I'm helping to manage that. My second job is an international consultant with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and that's the one where I travel a lot now. And I travel to different fields and help both Wycliffe missionaries and missionaries of other agencies that are facing issues where languages are being endangered, communities are being endangered, identities of communities are being endangered. And it's hard to know many times when you're doing ministry, how do you deal with a community whose identity is changing, whose language is changing? How in the world do you minister in a situation like that? And that's been my area of expertise, so that's what I have been doing consulting in. Do workshops and training for missionaries all around the world in that area. This past year took me to two, Af- two countries in Africa. I went to São Tomé e Príncipe, which are two little countries off the coast of Africa, and to Uganda, doing workshops there. And just this January, I was in Brazil doing a workshop there. So it's a privilege to be able to help missionaries, mission agencies, and local communities to make wise decisions in their to minister to their people. If anyone ventures and is courageous enough to come to the Bible study tomorrow, I will be talking a little bit more about it then. So those are the kinds of things we're up to. We're no longer the translators on the front lines, but we're providing resources to those on the front lines. This morning, I want to share with you a story. But first, let's look at Scripture. And actually, what I want to do is look at the story of Elijah. And Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings 19, verse 8 says, "So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb." That's this big mountain. "There he went into a cave and spent the night." Okay? And then in the next sections, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then Elijah complains. And then the Lord says in verse 11, "Go out and stand on the mountain and in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So that's our scripture today. Interesting. Why was Elijah there? What was he doing in that cave, right? He was running away, wasn't he? Do you remember that story? That he had been at this huge showdown with the prophets of Baal, and then all those prophets got killed, and so Jezebel was angry at Elijah and says, "I'm going to kill you." So he had to run. So he's running for his life. And where does he run? So Judah's up here. He runs south to Sinai. He goes into the desert. He keeps going south all the way to Sinai, which is close to Egypt, right? Comes down to the Sinai Peninsula, which is all desert and mountains. And he's hiding in the desert there. And he climbs this mountain, which is Mount Horeb. And he finds a cave to hide there. Interesting thing about that, that's the same mountain where Moses, when Moses went to hide from Pharaoh, who was chasing him, where did he go? He went to Midian, which is Sinai. And he went to the wilderness with his sheep, and what did he find? A burning bush. And where was that burning bush? On Mount Horeb. The same mountain. Both Moses and Elijah were hiding in the same place. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, so this is really not about hiding. This story is actually going to be about unexpected, hearing God's voice in unexpected ways. So Elijah heard God's voice in an unexpected way in that cave, right? He was expecting the storm or the earthquake or the fire, but God came to him in an unexpected way. I'm going to tell you a story now about God speaking in an unexpected way in Brazil. Some of you may remember back in 2004, there was this really neat opportunity or this occasion where we were able to translate songs, scripture songs, into the Mamede language, and that was a big deal. It was a big hit, and it was God used that. So there's a backstory here to the front story. So let me tell you the little bit of the backstory. So how did that come about? The youth back in about 2004, the Mamede young people weren't into the old people's music anymore. So the old people's music, does that sound familiar? So the old people's music was like this. The old people's music was no kanye nin da wa, 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 na na ga na na ga. That's a Mamede song. The young people didn't like that anymore. I don't know why, but they weren't into that, and they were listening to the radio, and Brazilian music, and so one day some Brazilian missionaries came by. And they spent 6 months there in the village, and they were teaching the young people Brazilian worship tunes, which were pretty peppy and pretty interesting, and they loved them, and they memorized them all. We didn't really have anything to do with that. My whole thing was we're going to do ministry in their music style and not in Western style. But those missionaries went away, and one day I was home in the hammock, and these little kids came, and they said, "Dave, we want to sing." And I started singing. No kayaking, the one, no kayaking. And they didn't want to have anything up to do with it. They were hanging their heads. And I said, "Well, why don't you want to sing?" They said, "Well, we want to sing those new songs that Brazilian missionary taught us." And I'm saying, "Well, do you understand the words?" And I said, "What does the Good Shepherd mean?" He said, "We don't know." "What does celebrate mean?" "We don't know." "What does put your hand in the hand of the man mean?" "We don't know these things." So I said, "Well, why do you sing these songs you don't understand?" So they get all sad and they hang their heads and they're walking away. And thankfully, God was there that day. Because God intervened and he said, "Dave, you can't do that to little kids." And so I called them back and they came back and I said, if I was to translate those little songs into your language, would you sing them?" And they got all excited and big eyes, you know. And so that night I translated 16 tunes. Stayed up all night. It was just a God thing because songs are hard to translate. But 16 songs into the Mamaide language, and they are still a hit today. That was 2004, 16 years ago. And but yeah, that was God. It was only God that was enabled me to do that. But it was the interesting thing is what happened just this past year. So what happened this past year? This past year, forward to 2019. In the summer of 2019, in the main village, main Mamaide village, 22 young people became possessed by evil spirits, all at the same time. Can you imagine in a little village of about 100 people, 22 young people being demon-possessed, all at the same time? They were speaking in guttural voices. They were comatose for hours. They were violent. They were trying to kill people. They were violent to their own families. They were like walking around like zombies. And the village didn't know what to do about it. And everyone was extremely concerned. This lasted for 2 months. Children from 16 years old down to 3 years old. Can you imagine a three-year-old possessed? It was a horrible situation. And they called the shaman. And the shaman came and he tried to do his thing. And they that didn't work. They called other shaman from other villages to come. They got worse. That was just this past summer. And they were beside themselves. Finally, Paulinho Mamaide, who is one of the main believers, but he was in a different village. So the Mamaide church that finally was born there was born in another village. And that was another story. But Paulinho is the chief there and one of the main believers. He heard about this. And so he got a Brazilian pastor to go with him. And they came to this main village where this demon possession was happening. And he said the children were laid out like on the ground, like wood. And they prayed over them. And then Paulinho started to sing. And he sang those same little worship songs. The same songs we had translated 16 years ago. He sang those at Mamaide. And the spirits left. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And to God be the glory, right? We sang that this morning. To God be the glory. That's exactly what that is. It's God showing his care for the people of this world, right? The beautiful thing there, too, is that we translated that for little children back in the day, little children who wanted to sing. And then those same songs are being used to liberate little children. So those songs came full circle. But it's also an example, the story is an example of God bringing healing to another culture in another language through one of their own people. Demonstrates God's care for other cultures and peoples. The same care that Jesus and Luke and Paul demonstrated. Pastor Ernie has been telling me that, you know, been going through the book of Luke recently and how Luke is an example. It's a testimony to God's care, God's heart for the world. And Luke did. He had that on his heart. Paul did as well. Why? Because Jesus had that example. He lived that way, right? And he ministered to the Samaritans, to the Romans. He even made a parable about a Samaritan. So, we do not have an option to call ourselves followers of Christ if we only approve of people or relate to people or love on people who are from our own culture or who are just like us. We don't have that option. Because Christ was not like that. He hung out with and loved and blessed people who were different from him. with Samaritans, Romans, and others. So if we call ourselves Christians, little Christs, we don't have that option. But this story is not only about how God speaks to others, but how he speaks in unexpected ways. And God has been impressing upon me since I was with the mom and dad the need for me to listen more carefully for him speaking in unexpected ways. Certainly, God using a song, using music to liberate kids from demon possession was not what I was expecting to happen. No one in that scenario was expecting that to happen. God did that. God showed up. Kind of like Elijah, right? Elijah in the cave, and then came the earthquake and this, and the fire and the storm. But God wasn't in those powerful things. So often, I think what happens is we often expect him to speak in the big, in the powerful, in the extraordinary, right? But often he uses the small. He uses the ordinary, like a still small voice, like a whisper, like a song. So what does that mean for you and me? This incident with the mom I did in January has reminded me of three ways that sometimes I respond to God's voice when God's trying to speak to me. And these three ways, sometimes I limit God's voice when God's trying to talk to me. Sometimes I ignore him. Sometimes I run from him. Those are three ways that are kind of relate to this story. Limiting God is when we try to put God in a box and we say, you can't talk to me like that. Or you can't address me like that. You can't do things like that, right? You can't act like that. We put him in a box, and it's a box that we're most comfortable with. Only God can only approach me like this, right? With this type of worship, with this type of music, with this type of whatever, only this way. Another is ignoring God, where we'd be ignore him where we don't expect him, right? So in the small details and the places, maybe he's trying to speak to us, and we just ignore those things. And maybe we're just too busy. There's part of that as well, of ignoring. Sometimes it's just being too busy. But to be able to see him in the presence, in what's present around us. And then the third thing, running from him, like Moses, like Elijah, who are running from God. Sometimes we run from him, try to hide, get as far away from him. And that's usually because we don't want to hear what he has to say to us, right? Or we don't, afraid of what he's going to ask us to do. That's what Moses tried. And Elijah tried that. They tried to avoid God's purpose for them. And they tried to hide as far away from them as possible. It says that Moses went to the far side of the wilderness, and that's where the burning bush was. He was in the wilderness already. He went to the far side of the wilderness, and God showed up and spoke to him there. So limiting God, ignoring God, running from God. Those are three ways sometimes we respond to him. If any of these scenarios apply, they've applied to me. Just recently, I've been thinking about limiting God in certain ways. It's time for us to attend, I think. And that's the word that came to me, attend to him. At least when I was in Brazil with the mom and dad, I was thinking of that. Needing to attend to the still, small voice. Let him speak. Maybe he will speak through a song like he did to the mom and dad. Maybe through the voice of a child or a stranger. Maybe through someone who's completely different from me, from another culture. But let's just not put him in a box. Let's let him speak. To attend to the still small voice today. I want to close with a favorite line from a favorite poem. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is aflame with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. Thank you.
If you would like to join us tomorrow at 10, Dave's going to be there, and he's going to talk a little bit more about his ministry. You're welcome to come. We have a normal meeting. It's in the room right back there. Thank you. And then again on Wednesday evening at 6:30, we'll meet over in the FLC in the choir room. And you're welcome to join us and learn more about the ministry. One of the things that fascinates me, I had the privilege of lunch yesterday. One of the things that fascinates me is actually the detail of how kind of Dave got started and what he's doing. To dedicate your entire life to taking a language and translating it. They don't even have an alphabet. Making up an alphabet based on the sounds. So, and the whole purpose of that, you guys know the whole reason he does that is so that he can get the word of God into their language so they can meet Jesus. I tell you, if I weren't a pastor, I would love to do that. That fascinates me. That is a tremendous commitment and calling to do that all of your life. How many languages do you think you've translated now, Dave? The one. And it took how long? 18 years. He went through this with me at lunch yesterday. They tape record people talking, and then they get those sounds and create an alphabet based upon the sounds. It's a fascinating, dedicated ministry, all around the idea that the Word of God is what changes lives. And I'm just grateful that I got to meet him and really talk about what he does, because I think it's a tremendous ministry. So if you as a person, if you want to support Dave's ministry, you can through the church. Just let us know that you're doing that, and we'll make sure that they get the money and they can continue that great, great work. And so we're going to continue our worship now with the giving and the receiving of our gifts unto the King of Kings.